So today we're going to talk about one of the one another's that's a little bit more implied. There are some statements there, but it's sort of one of those things where we do this with one another, for one another, to help one another, but it's not one of those things where it says, you're going to do this, and then the word one another. Okay? So it is a one another, but it's more one of those that we just kind of look at and we say, oh yeah, that makes sense, but you're right, there's not a statement that says do this to one another, okay? And that is, we're going to talk about building up one another and growing up one another. In other words, this is all about maturity. It's all about, oh, so you tell me, what's the definition of maturity in the Christian life? What does it mean to be mature? Okay. All right. You're doing all those things because you're growing up to be more like Jesus. So we're becoming more like Jesus, and that is what it means to grow up. Okay. Which is one of the things that we value a great deal around here. Okay. That you know, if I have to know volumes of theology or a thimbleful of how to live the life, it's better to have the thimbleful of living the life than it is to know the volumes of theology. Okay? Because I'm more like Jesus when I live like Jesus. I don't have to know everything. I just need to do the little bit that I know and act on it. And we believe that if we do that, we're faithful with that, then God reveals more to us and we can continue the process. So today we're going to be talking about this. We're going to build up one another and help each other grow up and be more like Jesus. And if we really are honest about it, this is God's purpose for each one of us. And where I see that is the first passage that we're going to go to. So, John, if you would pull up that first slide, and this is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4. We've talked about this section of scripture over and over and over again, because it is so rich. It's so who we're supposed to be. Okay. So he said, so Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, pastors and teachers. Okay. So all those things that we do, those giftings that God gives to the church through these people, are for a purpose. And that is to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that's not only us individually, that is us all together. So each one of us becomes more like Jesus, and all together we become more like Jesus. That's a pretty good twofer. So, let's look at the second part of this, okay? Then, we will no longer be infants.
Wah.
Okay? Two-year-olds, it's their way or highway, right? There is no other way. Two- and three-year-olds, it's mine. Okay? My fill-in-the-blank. No longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So even though there's not a necessarily in there that says one another, it is implied that this is what we are doing together. We are helping each other grow up. We are helping each other become more like Jesus. That's the purpose of the body. It's not to entertain us. It's not to keep us busy. It's not necessarily to meet our social needs. It is that we would become more like Jesus. And quite frankly, if it doesn't help us become more like Jesus, maybe we ought not be doing it. because it becomes a distraction. This is, you hear us talking about this a lot. It's good thing versus God thing. Not every good thing is necessarily a God thing. That make sense? All right. So we're to help each other grow up. Let me ask you this question. Think about it for a second, maybe for a couple of seconds. What has really helped you grow up? Just in life. What's really helped you grow up? Yeah, life in general. What's helped you grow up? Okay, responsibility, being given responsibility and having to see it through and carry. Okay, what else? Hardship. Boy, we don't like to hear that, do we? Challenge, difficulty, problem solving. Okay. Sometimes that retrospective, introspective looking at things in life that we have perhaps not responded to in the right way, even whenever we've been hurt or mistreated, we didn't know how to deal with it. And so we dealt with it in a way that wasn't healthy. And we ended up hurting ourselves even more, you know, whatever. And then looking at that and then letting God show us how to be free or how to be healed from that. Okay. There are times where it's a matter of vantage point. From God's vantage point, it's clear. From our vantage point, it's not. We don't know when a hardship is a spanking. But we do need to make sure that we are submitted to God so that we can not miss anything we're supposed to catch. Does that make sense? So that we know if there's something, if there's a redirect in our life, that we are teachable. Sometimes I think part of us having to grow up is saying, okay, God, is this a bad decision or choice that I'm being corrected for? Or is this just a challenge you want me to have in life and I need to grow through it? Does that make sense? Having to persevere through that? Well, it's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, and the idea is it's not that necessarily everything's from God. It's that God can redeem anything. Okay? So, anything else that's helped you grow up? Okay. Defeats. J.C. Penney. Somebody, the guy, not the store. The guy that started the store. Okay? They asked him, how did he learn how to make good decisions? You know what he said? Bad decisions. So how can we then apply all those lessons to our spiritual growth? Now, you did that, Heidi. You kind of stepped there for me a little bit. That's good. That's no problem. So how can we help each other be like Jesus? And how do these things in life help us to grow to be more like Jesus? Because not everybody learns that from those experiences that we talked about. Those things have challenged us and helped us to grow up. But have you let it help you grow up in Jesus and be more like Jesus? It's ministry of presence. Mm-hmm. Which, in a sense, kind of points back to what we talked about last week when we talked about encouragement and we talked about teaching, in a sense. Yeah. So, this is what we're all to be about. This is God's purpose and God's plan. In the context of this community, how can we make sure that we are helping people become more like Jesus, not just think if I know all this stuff, then I've arrived. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever known people who think because I know all this stuff, I've arrived? Oh, I have. I've known people that think because I've sat here for 30 years, I've arrived. Does that make sense? Okay. We are more like Jesus when we're more like Jesus, We're not more like Jesus when we know more about. Does that make sense? It may be a part of it, but it's not it. What's it is when these lessons in life that we're talking about, these things that come at us, we begin to respond to them in the way that demonstrates we are more mature than we used to be. So when someone wrongs us or hurts us, how do we then deal with that hurt? That's a big boy, a big girl issue. That's an issue that shows whether you have grown up some or whether you are still in first grade spiritually. Okay. Whenever there's a temptation in your life, how you deal with it represents something of where you are in your maturity. Are you wise enough to realize you need support? You need accountability. You need somebody there, and you go pursue it. That's not weakness. That's maturity. So growing up to be like Jesus is what we're supposed to be doing individually. It's what we're doing together, and we're supposed to help each other do that if we really believe what Paul was talking about to the Ephesians. Can't get away from it. It's a part of who we are, who we're supposed to be. So another passage. This one is from 1 Thessalonians, another letter that Paul wrote to another group of believers. Here he said, but since we belong to the day, and he had just given this contrast of darkness and night, and so he's saying, we're not in the darkness, we're living in the light. Okay. So he says, because we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, we always love the therefores. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. So what does it come down to in this passage? What does this passage have to do with helping each other grow up to be more like Jesus? What does this passage have to do with Paul making a statement about growing up to be more like Jesus? There's an element of intentionality here. Okay, he starts out with, hey, be sober. Put on faith, love. Wear hope. Okay, it's sort of like don't go through life like you just took a heavy dose of antihistamines or like you drank a whole bottle of wine and you're just bumping, thumping, staggering through without an understanding of what really is going on here. We need to be here for one another. So when he gets to that last line and he says, encourage one another and build each other up, the good news was he saw them doing it already. But he's saying, don't stop. You got to keep doing it. It's not a one and done. It's a life. It's something that we do with one another, for one another, because we're never cooked yet. We're not done yet. We're still in process. Till we see Jesus, we're going to be in that process. Anything else you see there? All right, John, let's go to the next one. So we go to Paul's letter to the Romans. Bless you. Oh, wait, no, Colossians. I'm sorry, I forgot. Where did that go? Oh, yeah, that's where it went. So in Colossians, to that church, he says this. He says, he is the one, talking about Jesus, we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Again, we talked about teaching and encouragement last week. So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So how much of a priority is this idea of us all growing up supposed to be? And where do you see that from in reflected in what Paul wrote there? How much of a priority? Yeah.
Strong word.
Mm-hmm. Dunamis is the word for energy. And that's also the word that's described, that is used in the New Testament when it talks about the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Same word. So everything that Paul saw, everything that God had given to him as a resource to help other people become more like Jesus. If we could see ourselves that way and what God has entrusted to us that way, I think it would change us dramatically. It would change the way that we dramatically deal with our brothers and sisters. Now, we talk about spiritual gifts. We talk about God giving us spiritual gifts so that we acknowledge that spiritual gifts are not given to us for our use. They're giving to us for us to share with our body. That's a whole, that's consistent across the board around here, the way that we look at that. Okay. And I think this is very much inconsistency. Very consistent with what that teaching is that the reason why we're gifted, the reason why we're talented is so that we can share that with others so that they too will be more mature. It's not just about me growing because I'm using the gift and I'm getting better at it. It's about me giving something to the body that God has given me to share with the body so that the body becomes more mature because I put my gift, my talent, my ability to work. Present everyone fully mature, more like Jesus, which is the goal. All right, John, last passage up there. So here we get to Romans. And Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification." So mutual edification, what's another way to say that? Okay? And what does that mean if we put a poster up and we added a picture? Okay, growing each other up, building each other up, and we know that objective is to be like Jesus. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Okay, so the analogy is he's in the middle of this conversation about the things that these people are doing. Okay, he's talked to them about, yeah, you're free to do this. You can eat this kind of food and you're not, because you ate this, you're not going to lose everything. You know, I understand it's neutral to you. It was sacrificed to idols. You don't care. You don't serve idols. It's no big deal. But the problem is the way that other people might perceive that. So in the middle of that conversation, he says, "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine." Obviously, it had been sacrificed in religious service to pagan idols. "Then to cause somebody to stumble, better not to eat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall." What does this have to do with our conversation? What's the principle being taught here? Okay? It does. Right. All right. Ham too, yeah. Bacon's okay. Even if you put it on your ice cream, which I haven't figured that out yet. But so the principle that's at work here is that we are responsible for the example we set. And we are responsible for not causing a brother or sister to stumble. Even if what we are doing is really neutral, if they perceive it as something that is not neutral and it causes an issue, we are responsible. What does that have to do with helping each other be more like Jesus or grow up? Okay, our example is important. Now, but we need to parse that a little bit more. Because there's a lot of things that, are neutral in life. And I might be free to do those things, but I have to choose not to do them because it may cause a brother or sister to stumble, even though it is not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even though it's not bad or wrong, I just have to choose not to do it to avoid any possibility that I might cause a brother or sister. Because if I cause a brother or sister to stumble, am I helping them become more like Jesus? My answer is, you better be submitted to God to know. Okay? Because ultimately, whether we like it or not, we're responsible for whatever. Okay? Now, I also don't think it's about legalism. I think it's about, what do I have to say I have to do? And I mean, since you raised the question, I just don't drink. I don't like drinking. I don't drink. I never have to worry about that issue in life. I don't have to go anywhere near it. I don't try to act like I'm any better than anybody else. I just don't do it. I don't tell anybody else that they can't do it. Okay. But I know that for me, I have peace that I'm not going to make. That's one place I don't have to worry about. No big deal. Okay. Now, there are other things that I may need to be really a lot more aware of, because part of it is knowing my brother or knowing my sister and knowing the context and the environment I'm living in too. But the issue is, if I'm not willing to give up something, there may be an issue. It's a matter of knowing and your heart. Okay. You know, I mean, go ahead, Heidi. Now, we'll say part of this too is that in the day that we live in, there is no such thing as something that somebody's not going to see. Okay. We have phones. I mean, you know, people are capturing stuff and video and putting it out there. So, you know, quite frankly, it's been a growing up experience for some evangelists and ministers in the past, because they'll say one thing and then they get caught doing another on video. Oh, yeah, I'm just as an example. Okay, so the issue is, there's really not much these days that we need to live as if everybody can see what it is we're doing. We're in that day and age. We can't assume that there's much anything that we are going to do or say that is not going to be something that other people have access to. And I find that very consistent with what the lifestyle that Jesus said should be ours, in that we're supposed to live transparent and fessed up. And the issue is, when we leave accounts else, you know, we have accounts that we have not cleaned up in life, those are the ones we don't want anybody to know about because we haven't dealt with them. Does that make sense to you? And then that ends up being a place of fear for us, because we're afraid somebody's going to go in that room in our lives. And we don't want them to know that room. Okay. We're supposed to help one another grow up, help one another be more like Jesus. It's really hard to help somebody be more like Jesus if we're being disrespectful and irresponsible with our freedom. Even though it's freedom, we can't let our freedom be something that causes somebody else to get confused or frustrated in their walk. Our job is to remove the barriers, not create the barriers. And so whenever we talk about helping each other become more like Jesus, we want to make sure that as we do the one another with helping other people, that we are not just running in there and doing stuff the way we want to do it and not paying attention to who our brothers and sisters are. That make sense? Anything else anybody's got that you want to share? Okie dokie. Mickey, would you close us?